I'll be reading from Hebrews 9. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him.
Good morning. Glad you braved the cold to come out this morning. Glad to see all of you. I like this kind of weather. It's just not, to me, bad at all. I know Roy loves it. He's feeling at home. But I don't know. I like the frozen ground better than the mud. I'll just be honest with you. So as long as you can keep the water flowing and the heat working, it's not bad. I know it's a little cool in here this morning, so I'll be mindful of that. I think we've got a unit struggling a little bit this morning. Maybe several of us are struggling this morning, but glad that you made it. I know several are out. I know some in the cold, and there's some sickness going through us, and so we hope everybody is safe and will be able to be back with us. Conversation this week that was not maybe a new revelation. It wasn't a new revelation, but it was kind of one of those things that we probably ought to talk about. I was talking with a friend of mine. We were talking about what really draws us to God and to church. He said, where he attends worship, they had been discussing that, and he had his thought. He said, I didn't say anything. He said, nobody else really said it, but he said, I think I know the answer. And I think he does have the answer that sometimes we forget. And his answer was death. Death. And his response to that was, it wasn't a morbid thought at all. He had lost his brother in his early 20s. And he said, that really changed my outlook. He said, that's when I really became serious about church. He said, I was kind of stubborn, had grown up in the church, but it really hadn't meant a lot to him until his young brother had passed and he saw the relevance of what God has done for us. And so I want to talk about that for just a moment this morning. We make the joke, there are two things we can't escape. Death and taxes. That's right, death and taxes. But guess what? None of us really believes that. I mean, we know it, but we don't believe it. When I say that, we're continually trying to avoid them both. Is that not true? Or at least prolong them or lessen them. Just a fact about life. You know, I've never understood anybody that would spend $100,000 to get $35,000 worth of tax breaks. I'm sorry, Ernie, I don't want to put you out of business, but it just makes absolutely no sense to me, you know? Now, if you need something, fine. But I know people say, well, I didn't need it, but I needed a tax break. I can't make that math work, you know? But we'll do that, and we'll try our best to cheat death as long as we can. And I don't blame us at all for that. But guess what? One day, it's coming. One day, it's coming. April the 15th is coming. Or October the 15th, depending on the extensions. It's coming. February 29th is coming if you're in Rutherford County. I just felt obligated to tell you that. Or 28th this year, 29th last year. It's coming. And why does that draw us to God? Why should death draw us nearer to God? Because it is coming. Death is coming to all of us. And all of us know that have lived any length of time at all. If we've made it to 30, I'll use that as a number. It's a little arbitrary, but probably for most of us. If we've made it to 30, we realize how fast the wheel is spinning, don't we? I think until you get into your 20s, you really don't know. Because I'll be honest with you, time seems to move slow, at least through your school years, right? You know, you can remember those years. You remember what teacher you had and what grades and kind of what you did and what classes you took. And then all of a sudden you wonder, what happened to my 20s? What happened to my 30s? I mean, the whole decade's gone. You know, I can remember 1979. I can remember a lot of things that happened in 1979. I can't remember what happened from between, you know, the 17 years ago that it was the turn of a new century. Remember? And the Y2K and all we worried about. That was just last year, wasn't it? The reason I say that is life moves quickly. And death is coming. But it really shouldn't bring sadness, but it should bring an alertness to us. And it should bring things into focus for us. And sometimes we see it in the death of others, in our family or close friends, especially when it's a surprise. It tends to kind of shake us up some. But we should realize that death is coming. And the Hebrew writer, and his point here is not about death and the certainty of death. It is, this is the thing you already know. The thing you already know is his appointed man wants to die, and then comes a judgment. And so not only is there death, but as human beings, we're not like Rover dead all over. That after death, we face judgment, right? And then we have the opportunity, the privilege, the blessing beyond belief to spend eternity with God, or the tragedy of an eternity in anguish and pain and suffering and total darkness and evil. Total darkness and evil. Because we're going to give an accounting for what we've done in our lives and what we've done with Jesus. But the point of Hebrews 9 is that Christ came and gave His life as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might face eternity with boldness, to use Paul's words, with boldness, and also the thoughts of the Apostle Paul, with excitement and encouragement because of what Jesus has done for us. And the Hebrew writer then will use a figure that, as you probably know, is one that just is so vivid to me and it has so much meaning, and that is of Jesus passing into the Holy of Holies, or in chapter 9, into the tabernacle. He says, not the tabernacle that's an image of what is real, not one that is mobile, not the one that Moses and the Israelites built wandering in the wilderness, but Jesus has actually passed to the very presence of God Himself. That Jesus has died, has been raised, and has ascended to be in the very presence of God Himself. Not just in the Holy of Holies of the temple, not in the tabernacle, but with God Himself. And is in the presence of God. And unlike the way things used to be, where there was the continuation of having to make sacrifice, and that the high priest annually would make sacrifice and go into the Holy of Holies, that Jesus made the perfect sacrifice once and for all. There's no need for more sacrifice because Jesus' sacrifice paid the debt and the price that we might also be raised from the dead and be heirs of eternal life. Why does death draw us to God? Because we know there's something more than what's here. There's something more than what's here. And we want to avail ourselves to that greater thing that's coming. And my encouragement to us is not just to come to God because I know I'm going to die. And so knowing that I'm going to die and that there's a judgment and the choices are heaven or hell, bingo, heaven is the better choice of those two. I want us to grow in a point of faith where there is anticipation of the glories of heaven and being with God. That we don't look at it with as an inevitable pain that is coming, but that the Lord's return will bring great things. Now, does death bring still sorrow for us? Absolutely. Is there dread of the tomb? Absolutely, because what darkness does it hold? It is the power of Satan, right? That's where death came from. from sin and from Satan himself, but to know that to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, and when the Lord returns, to meet him in the air and to be with God forever in a perfect home that he has designed for us should bring excitement. Maybe it's 72 degrees there every day. I don't know. Whatever maybe your perfect is. But that should bring excitement for us as Christians. And it should draw us, because Paul will say to the Corinthians, and this is such an important passage, because so often we are drawn to Christ and the church as human beings for peace, for prosperity, for healing, for blessings, right? And the Lord watches over us and blesses us. And, oh, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for running water. Aren't you? For indoor plumbing. I'm not being trivial. I mean, they're just blessings that we take for granted. It is really nice this morning to get in a hot shower, not to have to get in a wash tub behind a heater. And it was really nice not to have to run out across the backyard to a little building. Have plenty of food. To have heat. To have a warm car to come here. To have friends and family. And to be here in peace. We don't have guards. We don't have a secret passage we have to go through to worship. I mean, all of those things could be, couldn't they? But they are not, because God has blessed us for the health to be here. Some of us may be struggling in our health, but we can be here. Those are blessings of God, and I'm thankful for them. But the Apostle Paul says that if our hope in Christ Jesus is in this world only, we're above all men to be most pitied. That our great blessings is not what God is doing for us here, but it is the greatness of what God has prepared for us. That eyes have not seen and ears have not heard of the greatness of what God has prepared. This life is going to end. This world as we know it's going to end. But when that's going to occur, I have no earthly idea. It's sooner than it's been before, right? You don't have to be a great theologian or a prophet to know that. That's the simplest of logic. It's less time than it's been. But I don't know whether that means a few hours, a few days, a few months, a few years, a few millennia. I don't know. But it really doesn't matter to me, because I know my time here is limited. How limited that is, I don't know either. And I'm glad I don't know. Don't need to know. Don't want to know. But it will have its limits. There are greater days that are ahead. So what should our preparation be? What should our preparation be? Preparing for the end of our time here and the Lord's return. That's what should draw us to God. To say, I know my time here is limited. This earth is not going to last. It's the message Jesus gives us, right? Simply in the Sermon on the Mount, what does he say? Don't lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth. Because what happens to them? Moths and rust corrupts. Thieves steal it. They used to break in and steal. Now they just get your identity and take it out of your bank account. Thieves steal. Rust corrupts. Or it becomes of no value, right? It has no lasting value. But lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where there's no corruption, where nothing is stolen, where it doesn't lose value. Because great will be our reward in heaven. What Jesus is saying is, prepare for that which is greater. Invest in that which is greater. Be prepared for that which is greater. Prepare your treasures there. Jesus said, blessed is he who loses his life for my sake. For he will find it, right? If we lose our lives for Jesus' sake. And that's not only are we willing to die for Christ, but are we willing to give up of our own desires, of our own interests, our own wants, and surrender our lives in service and dedication and worship to God. Knowing that when we give of ourselves, give of our lives, we will truly find it. We will truly be blessed with greater lives and greater blessings. It is death that draws us, because all of this will end. So all the things that we could amass for ourselves here don't last long. Wise man Solomon figured that out, didn't he? Remember Solomon? He draws to the end. Paraphrasing Solomon, not his words. He would have been so much more fluent, and was. I've been everywhere, seen everything, done everything, and the end of the matter is this. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole purpose of man, is to fear God and keep His commandments. The rest of these things don't amount to much of anything. I think I may have shared this with you, at least some of you, maybe not from the pulpit, but when Dad was sick a few weeks ago, really nauseous and really sick, and you may or may not know that Dad had open heart surgery in November, late October, I think, or early November of 88, doesn't matter. He had open heart surgery. And so after that, he exercised faithfully and watched his diet. And so, able to maintain a strong heart pretty much for the rest of his life. But sick with the cancer, Dad one day looked up at me, he said, if I'd known this, he said, I've tried to eat right and I've tried to exercise. He said, if I'd known this was coming, I'd have quit that crap. And, in other words, I'd rather have the bad heart is what I'm going through now. And he really didn't. It was kind of funny. It was a funny moment. But the sentiment is a good one. I think it's the same thing many folks are going to realize when they come to the end of this life and they have invested, have spent all of their time on only the things of this world. And then when the end comes, they're going to realize, I have not spent my life on that which is lasting and important. And that's going to be sad, isn't it? To come to the end of life and say, I didn't do that which was important. I worked on a lot of things that seemed important at the time, that seemed pressing at the time, that seemed necessary at the time, that seemed to bring value at the time. But as I near the end, they're just not as important as I thought they were. God knows that which is important and eternal. And spending our time in service to Him and about the business of God is what brings lasting value. And God says, I'll bless you with the things that you need. Bless you for the things you need. Does that mean that God's called us all to be missionaries or preachers? He hasn't. But He's called us in whatever we do, wherever we are, as parents, as workers, as bosses, as whatever we are, to do the very best we can do and work as if we're working for God. To be about God's business and realize what's important. And it is not what will be on our balance sheets or our accomplishments that we can list in our obituary. It will be what we've done with God and being about His business. And so, let's none of us come to the end of our lives and say, oh, I invested in all the wrong things, because we know what the right things are, right? This is not an infomercial. This is not about annuities. This is not about buying gold. This is not about an investment that when everybody else loses theirs, when the market goes down, you'll keep yours. I've heard them all. I don't know about all those. That's not what I'm talking about. But I can tell you, if we will stay in the Word of God and be about the business of God and put first His kingdom and His righteousness, all of these things will be added to us. We're all going to die. This deal's going to be over. We're not going to take our houses or our lands or our accomplishments or our books or whatever it is that we value. with us. The only thing we're going to take with us, are those things that we have built for God, those things that last. And the Scripture says what we do will be tested with fire to whether it will last or not. And things of this world will burn up, but those things that we lay up in heaven will survive. That's what should draw us to God, being about His business, knowing that His appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. And that all of us are sinners. And our rightness with God comes in our surrendering to the will of God and being washed in the blood of His Son. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.